So, do you practice before?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what kind of practice did you do?
Mainly Vipassana, Mahasi, Saida.
Did you do Samatha as well?
A little bit, Anapana.
Ah. Yeah, I mean, when we are here, we firstly do Samatha, and I explain why it is important. So when we look, we don't have to reiterate, you know, the four noble truths. The first noble truth is dukkha, dissatisfaction, dis-ease, yeah? Pain, suffering, yeah. It's all, you know, it's all dukkha. Yeah? A little, you know, discomfort, a little discomfort, bodily discomfort, mental discomfort, yeah. Boredom, you know, even boredom is dukkha. It's all dukkha. Yeah? And where is the dukkha coming from? Yeah? From our desires, wanting this and wanting that, not wanting this and not wanting that. And then the Lord Buddha, the third noble truth, the Lord Buddha said there's a way out of dukkha. Yeah, and that's what we are coming here, is to practice the way out of dukkha. It's sila, samadhi, and panya. Yeah? Sila, so when we are here, we keep the eight precepts. For the lay people and for the metis, you know, and for the monks, you know, we keep the 227 precepts. And then we practice samadhi. Yeah? And samadhi is a concentration on one point. Yeah? Be it the breath, you know, around the tip of the nose, or the buddho. Mm? Or if it is too difficult, the buddha with breathing in and the do with breathing out. And we practice that until we get really calm, until there are no more thoughts, until there are no memories coming up. Yeah? And then, yeah, then the mind is sharp. And then we can do investigation. Yeah? So the last part, sila, samadhi, panya, developing wisdom, yeah, is through investigation. What are we investigating? We are investigating the five khandhas. That's what we are attached to. We are attached to the body. We are attached to feeling. We are attached to thoughts. We are attached to memory, yeah, and associations. And we are attached, you know, yeah? We are attached to consciousness. So we have to investigate it. And the first and foremost investigation is this body, to separate the body and the citta. Yeah? The citta is the driver of the car, and the body is the car. So we have to separate it out. When we are born in a car, and when we die in the car, and never get out of the car, we have to assume that we are the car. And that's the same with the body. We are born in the body, we die in the body, and then we think we are the body. Yeah? But we are not the body. Yeah? The citta, yeah, is the driver of the body. Yeah? The body, yeah, is an accessoire. Yeah? You can see it as an accessoire. It's a nice accessoire, yeah. Yeah? Very, very, yeah, very plentiful, enormous potential, yeah. We can do, you know, I mean, with the body come all the senses, you know, and we can do a lot of things with the body, you know, we never get tired of. That's why we are born millions and trillions of times, you know, again and again and again, because we don't want to let go of all these things, yeah. So we have to first, you know, separate out, you know, the body, you know, the citta from the body and see, you know, the body is the body and the citta is the citta. And when the citta is calm, and that's what we experience in samadhi, when the citta is calm, the body does not move, yeah? The body only moves, you know, the slightest movement, yeah, of the body is, yeah, pre-done by the citta who wants to move the body. Yeah? I mean, it feels something, you know, and, you know, and then it's tired of this, you know, it's painful, you know, it's this, yeah, it's thirsty, you know, it's hungry, it's tired, you know, and then the citta says, okay, lay down, yeah. Without the citta saying anything, you know, I mean, the body doesn't do anything. And this is something that we really have to experience, yeah? To completely see that, and we can only do that if we do samadhi, yeah. If we go into, you know, if we go into upachara samadhi, yeah, or into apana samadhi. Upachara samadhi is when thoughts and memories stop, yeah, when there is just being. Yeah? It's wonderful, you know. I mean, that's what we dream of all our life, yeah? Being, just being, you know. There's no future, there's no past, there's no worries, there's no fear, there's nothing, there's just, you know, peacefulness or happiness or whatever. is there, still there. Yeah? And then we see the body doesn't move because we're not worried about the body anymore. Yeah? I mean, there might be some pain, but it's so far away, just like the stars are so far away, they don't bother us. Yeah? And that is what we have to experience to see. You know, I mean, when the citta is calm, the body does not move. Yeah? So when the moment we think, you know, I mean, the body moves on its own, then we are mistaken. Yeah? This cannot happen. Without the driver, you know, the car does not go. Does not go forward or backward or sideways, you know, left or right, you know. Does not go fast, you know, or slow. Yeah? Without the driver, the car does not roll. Yeah? And that's the same thing without the citta, that is the driver, or the owner of the body, you can call it the owner of the body, the body does not move. Yeah? And that is an experience that we need. Yeah, we need to understand that. Yeah, that the citta and the body are two separate things. Yeah? That is one of the fetters, you know, I mean, that keeps us bound to the realms of birth and death. Yeah? The other two is, you know, not believing, you know, doubt, the fetter of doubt, not believing that there's heaven or hell, or beings in heaven and hell, or that there's karma and results of karma, yeah, good karma or bad karma, you know. We don't believe it, or we don't trust it, or we think, you know, I mean, that's not true, yeah. That is one of the fetters. The third fetter is, you know, not keeping the precepts, yeah. Sila, Bhatta, Paramasa, Sila are precepts, the five precepts. Today we take them, and then we don't take them, then we take them again, and then we don't take them again. That is a fetter. That keeps us there. Eh? But for me, you know, for my own experience, you know, this fetter can be kept, you know, relatively if one is determined. Okay, now I keep the five or eight precepts, yeah, from now on, and there's no question about it, yeah. The fetter, you know, where we believe we are the body is the most difficult one to break. And only if we break the first three fetters can we go into Sotapanna, can we go into the stream. And then entering the stream, I mean, we have a promise that we have at most, yeah, seven more lives, yeah. We can finish it in one life, you know, but we are at most, you know, if we are lazy, yeah, we can finish it within seven lives, yeah, at least, yeah, at most. Okay, yeah. So this fetter, you know, of breaking the body, the citta and the body, you know, as seeing is as two separate entities is the most important thing. Yeah. So that is the investigation. Investigation only works, you know, when our mind is completely calm, without any association, without any, you know, preoccupation. Yeah? Sati, yeah. I mean, we hear it, you know, I mean, from the sutta, Satipatthana Sutta, yeah, the foundation of, yeah, they call it mindfulness, but actually when you translate it correctly, sati is mind emptiness. The mind is empty of any occupation, yeah. It didn't become clear to me until I met Lungta Mahaboha, yeah, when he explained, you know, what sati was, you know, I said, now I understand. Because I always thought, you know, I'm very mindful, but you know, that is not the power that we need to cut through the kilesas, yeah? Through the kilesas of, you know, for believing, you know, or, you know, attaching to the body, you know, and thinking that the body is us, yeah? So you have to separate it out, you know, there are several ways, you know, you can do a super practice, you know, then you can go all the way, yeah? The third and fourth, now, the fourth and the fifth, you know, I mean, fetters are greed and hatred, and that it's all rooted in this body. Yeah? I mean, without the body, you know, I mean, there wouldn't be any greed and hatred. Yeah, we have greed, you know, for the senses, or we have greed, you know, for the body, you know, I mean, or we hate the body, you know, or the body of others, or the forms of others, you know, whatever. Yeah, so it's all greed and hate is all connected to the body. Yeah? So investigation of the body, you know, is for a long, long time our main focus, yeah? And with, you know, investigation of the body comes, of course, you know, also investigation of bodily feelings. bodily feelings, you know, I mean, when we sit for 3 hours, you know, I mean, we feel pain. So we investigate the pain, the bodily pain, yeah. What is pain? Huh? Where is it? Where is it actually located? When we get up, there's no more pain. What kind of pain is that? Yeah. If you cut your finger, or if you, you know, if you fall over, you know, and hurt yourself, or break your leg, you know, I mean, the pain is always there. Huh? So, what kind of pain is that? What is pain, you know? I mean, that is the investigation we do when we sit in samadhi and the pain comes. Yeah? Actually, you know, you should be very happy when pain comes, because, I mean, it is the best object of meditation that we never lose, yeah? I mean, the breath we easily lose, or the Buddha we easily lose, yeah? But pain, you know, it stays on, so we can focus on it and investigate it, asking questions, yeah? Investigation is always asking questions and getting the answers from the heart, not from what we think, yeah? Not from our thoughts, not from our memories, but from our heart, or from our citta, yeah? That's where the true answers come out. I explained it in the last talk very, very, very elaborate, you know, I mean, truly knowing, yeah? We only truly know in the citta, yeah? And only this truly knowing, this truly understanding of the citta can deliver us to freedom, deliver us to the freedom of from dukkha. With thinking, we don't get there, yeah? We can, you know, people believe all sorts of things, and they are really strong believers. They can think, you know, they are Sotapanna or Sakadagami or Anagami, you know, or even Arahant. Yeah, but that is just a belief, yeah? Any kind of belief can be destroyed by somebody else telling us, no, that's not true, yeah? Or, if we are clever enough, then telling ourselves, yeah, that's not true, I don't believe that, yeah? And then you see, you know, this kind of belief, if you counteract it, you know, a long time, you know, I mean, it will break away and nothing is left, yeah? Then we see, it was just a belief, yeah? And the belief are formed, you know, by our thoughts and memories, you know, associations and so on, yeah? We think, you know, oh, I don't see any greed or hatred. I mean, I've a lot of people coming, you know, also from Myanmar, you know, and say, oh, I'm already a Sakadagami, oh, I'm a Sotapanna, oh, I don't see any more greed and hate, so I must be, I must be a Nakami. Great, yeah. Congratulations, yeah. But it's only in the mind, it's not in the heart, yeah. The heart still longs for these things. Eh? And that's where you see it, you know, when the greed and hate are gone, you know, there's nothing, there's no longing for anything like that, yeah? Nothing from the world, yeah? So, I mean, how do we do? You know, first of all, the samadhi, you know, whenever the mind goes out, we bring it back, yeah? We bring it back to the Buddha, or we bring it back to the breath, yeah? Huh? And then once the mind gets calm, the important thing is to develop the sati, this knowingness. Huh? How is the breath at every moment? Yeah? Is it starting the in-breath, or is it in the middle of the in-breath, or is it going down? You know, is it changing from in-breath to out-breath? Every moment of the breath, you know, we follow up and we know at every moment how the breath is on. Huh? Is the breath in the beginning? Is the breath slow, or is the breath fast? Is the breath deep, or is the breath shallow? Is it long, or is it short? Yeah. We only want to know, we don't want to change the breath. This is really important, yeah? Making the breath, you know, I mean, very calm, you can do that for 3 or 4 minutes and then, yeah? then you get the breath back in, you know, and then you see, you make it, you. I mean, all our life we control, you know, we control everything, yeah? Now, meditation is not about controlling. Meditation, you know, investigation is about observing. Yeah? Knowing what is going on without wanting, without the desire to change anything. We just want to know it every moment, you know, what is going on. If there is a thought coming in, we know there is a thought coming in, but we don't go for it. Yeah, we return back to the Buddha, or we return back to the breath. If there is a memory, we know a memory came up, and then we just go back. Yeah, and that's how we make the mind calm. But the knowing is developing, the sati, you know, is of most importance. Yeah? When you listen to Lungda Mahabua's talks, he said, sati panya. Yeah? So sati, this awareness, you know, panya, the wisdom, you know, developing wisdom, is the only weapon that can kill the kilesas, yeah? Can get rid of the kilesas. Yeah? Our thinking, our association cannot get rid of the kilesas. Our control cannot get rid of the kilesas. Yeah? We cannot let go of things, you know, I mean, that we are attached to. But we can understand it, yeah? The understanding that takes place in the heart is like the understanding, you know, when we have our hand in the fire, you know, and we always look in the opposite direction and see shadows there, and we blame the shadows for our pain. Huh? What the investigation is, you know, to look, yeah, to look around and see that the hand is on fire, and then we don't have to tell the hand anything, yeah? It automatically retracts, yeah? So the moment the heart sees that it does something that is hurtful, yeah, or that is painful, you don't have to tell it, yeah? It stops, and it won't do it again. That is the power of the heart, yeah, or the power of the citta. I always intermingle, you know, citta and heart, yeah. I mean, in Thai, it's pretty much the same word, yeah. When I say, you know, yeah, the citta, you know, I mean, there are two aspects, the heart, you know, when we come from the West, the heart and the rational aspect and the emotional aspect, yeah. But the citta has both of these aspects inside, yeah. So, the heart understands it and the heart lets go. I mean, we can control our life, yeah, so as much as we want, but it never stops wanting, yeah. But the moment, you know, the citta sees, you know, its own demise, you know, its own faults, its own pain, you know, that it causes the pain by itself, yeah, and then it lets go. Yeah? That is the wonder, yeah. That is the way how we should practice meditation, to show the heart, yeah. I always say, rip open, you know, and heart, you see what you do? No. It will always say no, yeah, until it sees clearly, and then it says yes, and then it lets go. Yeah. We never ask the heart, do you see what you're doing? Yeah. We just do things, yeah. We don't look for the results of our doing, you know, we just think, you know, okay, whatever we think, or whatever, you know, is our habits, you know, are good enough, yeah. We never look at the results. Eh? So we have to tell the heart, do you see what you're doing? Eh? Do you see the results? Eh? And when you listen to the heart, it says, no, I don't want to see it, I'm blind. Yeah? That's what comes down to it. Yeah? Until, you know, we show it often enough, you know, and then it will see and understand it clearly. And once it sees it clearly, it lets go. That's the nature of the heart, yeah, and that is the investigation. But we have to force it to investigate, yeah, because it doesn't want to, because the kilesas, you know, always, you know, want to make a blindfold, you know, over the heart, yeah. And we have to remove the blindfold by asking questions. Do you see it? Do you see it? You know, do you understand it now? No. Yeah? The answer comes very quickly, you know. You understand it? No. Much faster than our thought comes. Yes, I understand. Yeah. No. Before that, the heart says, no. Yeah? I don't understand. Yeah. What's going on? I need to look again. And I need to look again. And sometimes we have to look 1,000 times or 10,000 times or even 100,000 times before the heart sees it clearly. Yeah. And once the heart sees it clearly, it lets go of it. Yeah? That's the nature of the heart. But we have to show it. We have to poke. Yeah. You have to see, you know, what is pain, you know, where is the pain, how does it feel like, yeah? We have to investigate all these things, yeah? How is the pain, you know, what is the body, you know? Is the foot the body, is the heart the body, is the brain the body, is the lungs the body, what is, yeah? When we put all the 32 parts of the body outside of us, you know, and nothing, only the sati, only the awareness, you know, sees all these things, yeah? So what part of the body is the body? Then we assemble it again, you know, and then we take the things back, you know, and suddenly I appears, yeah? Before that, you know, when we see all the parts of the body, there's no ego, there's no I for a moment, for a short moment, yeah? Oh. You see it? Yeah, and then you take one, you grab hold of one, and I, it's mine, me, my, myself. Yeah? Hmm. No. Yeah? And then you have to do it again until the heart understands. Yeah? And then sees, okay, body is body, no citta is the citta. Yeah? And that is essential. Yeah? So I think this is enough for today. Yeah? So, I mean, while you're here for 3 weeks, you know, mostly practice samadhi, get the mind completely calm, and then, yeah, then you know what to do, and start investigation. And if you do samatha, you know, I mean, sit longer, sit 2 or 3 hours until the pain comes. This you can do. Nah? This is, when we do samatha, we don't mix it with investigation vipassana, yeah? We do 1 hour of samatha, or 2 hours of samatha, and then maybe do 1 hour of investigation, yeah? But if our samatha is not good enough, I mean, then we don't do any investigation except pain, you know, when we sit for long hours, yeah? What is pain, yeah? We always run away from pain, yeah? All our life we run away from pain. Okay, so, are there any questions? You have any questions? By the way, what is your name?
Charlie.
Charlie. So, you have questions?
Ist nicht sehr flüssig geschrieben, ich sag's vorweg. Ich versuch's in.
Yeah, yeah.
How do I develop love for word Buddha so that my citta automatically goes to reciting it? I try to give it importance in my mind since it's the same word all the Venerable Ajahns used during their journey to enlightenment. And I have some liking for Lord Buddha too, although my faith is still not strong enough.
Then you have to develop the faith in the Lord Buddha. Without the Lord Buddha, we would not know, you know, in what kind of precarious situation we are. And we wouldn't know that there's life after death, there's rebirth, you know, and there's previous birth, previous lives, and so on. have more faith, you know, in the Lord Buddha that, you know, came down, you know, who practiced for 180 eons to become a Buddha, to become a teacher for the human beings. Eh? And he is not the first Buddha, you know, there were so many Buddhas before him, yeah? So that the people can understand in what a kind of precarious situation they are and how they get out of it, yeah? So the more you think about it, huh? The more you think about your own life, you know, birth, you know, huh? Growing up, you know, growing old, you know, getting sick, you know, and dying, you know, the more faith, you know, you could develop in the Buddha. But, you know, I mean, your statement is strong. Not all the Kuba Achans use Buddha. Some of them use Buddha and others use the breath, you know, Anapanasati. So, I mean, both of them are okay. You know, you can use the breath, yeah? Observe the breath, like I said, you know, or use it as combination with Buddha, with breathing in and do with breathing out, okay?
There is a concept in Hinduism where chanting God's name at time of death gives you deliverance out of samsara, no matter how you have been your whole life. Does the same holds for word Buddha?
I mean, that is a myth. It cannot happen. Yeah, I mean, that's what Hindus say, you know, or what they believe in, you know. It's not true. It's a fake, you know. It's what is the new word, you know, misinformation. No. What happens if you're in a precarious situation, no matter if you're close to death or if you're in a frightening situation, and you call, you know, your favorite monk or your the Lord Buddha, please help me, then. There might be, you know, if you have the vasana, if you have the merit, you know, then he might help you out of this trust, you know, because of your faith, help you out of this frightening situation. But, I mean, Why would we sit here, you know, and train our body, you know, for years? You know, I mean, how many lives as a monk have I spent already, you know, training, you know, getting tired of it, you know, training again, getting tired of it. Why would we do that, you know, if we just, you know, before our death, we repeat the word Buddha and, you know, we get enlightened. Wow. I mean, we are so stupid. Huh? I hope you understand that. Next.
Is there something I can do for my parents who aren't into spirituality, like dedicating merit of meditation to them or dana? I am not confident about my own practice yet, so I won't be able to enchant them enough to invite them to practice meditation.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, every time you seriously practice, you sit down for an hour and try to stay with the Buddha or with the breath or do investigation, you can share the merit of your practice with your parents and they can take full part of it. Yeah? And it helps them, yeah? I mean, it's just like, you know, we go and have a work, you know, and we go and work in a factory and we earn money and we can give this money that we earn to anybody that we like, yeah? So is it with the merit, you know? Yes, especially good is also, you know, giving dana in the names of your parents, yeah? I mean, my parents, in the name of my parents, you know, I make this offering, yeah? To the monks, you know, or to the Buddhist Sangha, you know. And always, you know, when you make offerings to Buddhist temple, make it in the name of the Sangha of the Lord Buddha. Yeah. Give it, you know, in the name of your parents to the Sangha of the Lord Buddha. Yeah. That, you know, cuts down, you know, giving to this monk or to that monk. Eh? The Buddha said that is the highest blessing you can have for your offering. Next.
I have heard from you that we are supposed to only observe the thoughts, feelings, and not act on them, but sometimes I end up acting on these unwholesome feelings and then regret later and then worry if my meditation will now regress. It's already too hard to develop samadhi. Imagining it to regress makes me demotivated. How to overcome this mindset?
It's a wrong thought. Yeah. The moment you worry, you're already off. You know, the kilesas create these things. Yeah. I mean, that is normal. Yeah. Of course, you know, when we see a thought, you know, we should not act on it. When we see a memory, we should see it as clouds passing by. But, I mean, that is long, long, long time into practice. Yeah. In the moment we act on it, you know, we look at the results of this action, you know, when it was a bad thought or when it was a bad word or when it was a bad deed. And then we train ourselves, I don't want to do this again, yeah? And worry, you know, or, you know, regress. No, it's not regress, you know, it's constant. As long as we go one step forward, you know, I mean, we don't regress. And each time, you know, we take up meditation, it's a step forward, yeah? Don't think about regress. That is the way of the kilesas to deter us from our practice. And then you said, if they try to deter me from my practice must have getting some fruits, yeah? Huh? And that makes us more interested. What are they trying to hide in front of me, yeah? So let's see, yeah? Okay?
I have often heard that one should develop samadhi first and then do investigation, develop panya. I have not reached samadhi yet, but sometimes I do body investigation, asubha, when the lust comes up.
It's okay.
I am not doing full sitting and contemplating on body parts. I just bring up the images more casually. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Also, when is the right time to start investigation in practice?
I mean, I told it so often, yeah. I mean, if you can stay with the Buddha or with the breath for 15 minutes, yeah, or 10 to 15 minutes without any thoughts, without any memories coming in, we can already start with investigation for half an hour or for an hour, yeah. I said it so often, yeah. What was the other thing? You know, I mean, yes, I mean, it is useful if lust and greed comes up, you know, I mean, to bring up these super practice, these super images, you know, and, you know, contemplate on them. That is perfectly fine. Also, I mean, I thought about, you know, constant reflection about what is happening during the day, the daily reflection, you know. With what kind of thought did I wake up, you know, what kind of action did I do, what kind of feelings came up, you know, what was the next thing, to get a view of what we are doing and why we are doing and what the results of it is. That is already starting investigation, yeah. I mean, that is very useful in the lay life, yeah. You know, you cut down on a lot of things, you know. I mean, you know, all these unnecessary things that we do during the day, and we don't know really why we're doing, just because we had the thought of it. Once you do this daily investigation, you know, daily reflection, yeah. I mean, you catch it, you know. Say, what the hell, you know? Why am I doing the things that I'm doing? Yeah. It's useless, yeah. You see it, you know, and you see also useful things that you need to develop, and then you develop them. Yeah? I mean, this kind of investigation is at any time, yeah? Yes, serious investigation needs samadhi, you know, needs the sati, yeah? And the better the sati, the more fruit, you know, the more fruitful, you know, this investigation is. But this kind of investigation about thinking about birth, you know, death, you know, sickness and old age, you know, I mean, it's always, you can always do that. Yeah. Okay?
Okay, last question. How to investigate death? I see people dying often at work, and I hear talk about death often, but it don't seem to see my own death coming. I wonder if it's because I am at peace with it or simply too afraid to see it.
Yeah, probably the latter one, yeah. I mean, yes, there are some people cool with death, you know, I mean, but that is very seldom, you know, that is the exception, yeah. Probably we don't want to see it, you know. We see the death of other people and see, oh, yeah, that is normal. But when it comes, you know, he or she can investigate it very clearly, you know. If something happens, you know, if she breaks her arm, you know, or if she cuts herself, you know, does she worry? Or if she gets sick, does she worry about the body? Then she certainly worries about death, yeah. It's a good sign, yeah. Yeah, I mean, see the death, you know, I mean, and see, you know, that, yeah. I mean, when you see a person dying, she probably works in a hospital. When she sees a person dying, I mean, also, you know, put the thought in it. That is how I'm going to die, you know. I mean, the breath stops, you know, I mean, this, you know, this, before that, you know, that, yeah. Do I want to go through these stages, yeah? Asking these questions is important, yeah? Putting yourself in the shoes of other people is important, yeah? When you see somebody die, I mean, most of the people are not happy when they die, yeah? Some people, you know, scream, you know, they don't want to die. Some people are in absolutely pain, agony, you know, because of, in the pain of death, yeah? So, yeah, put yourself, okay, that is what is going to happen to me, yeah? Or if she sees somebody, you know, I mean, people sometimes see, you know, if people are, when, yeah, especially soldiers, when people get murdered, you know, they're not happy about, you know, getting murdered or getting, you know, getting killed or whatever happened. Or you can even look at animals, you know, that are slaughtered, you know, I mean, yeah? And then reflect, you know, I mean, sooner or later I will have to die, yeah? but, you know, if she really thinks that she's calm about death, you know, I mean, then look at her, you know, last experience, you know, of sickness, you know, if she's seriously sick, you know, I mean, she worries to death, yeah? Probably. Yeah? And so that means she's afraid of death. Yeah? The body dies, you know, and the citta doesn't die. Yeah? It's just like the car gets old and cannot be repaired, you know, we throw it away and get a new car. Yeah? I mean, what is the problem? Why getting so attached to this body? You know, it's a vehicle that we use, you know, for our own development. Most of the people use it for entertainment, just like they nowadays use the smartphones for their entertainment, yeah? They use the body for entertainment and then it dies and then they worry about it, yeah? We should worry about the karma that we are doing, yeah? Every action, every word, every thought, you know, has karmic consequences, yeah? That's what we should worry about, yeah? But not about the death of the body, you know? Because, you know, once the death is, you know, there's a new birth in a new realm, you know? Whatever the consequences of your karma leads you to. Okay? So, enough? Any more questions? Not, you know, then go and practice, yeah? And especially now, when it is cold, investigate what is cold. What is it? Where is it? It's not in the body, yeah? Go, investigate it, you know? Very, very interesting. The same thing with when it is getting very hot, you know? I mean, what is heat, you know? What is cold, yeah? I mean, where does it stop, you know? Yeah? Look at it, yeah? And there's no problem then with cold, yeah? Or with heat. Don't assume these things. Yeah? We live in a world of assumptions, yeah? I mean, we made this assumption over and over through our experience, you know, okay. Now we have to cut down all the assumptions. We have to get rid of them. Yeah? See, what is cold? What is pain? What is this? What is that? Yeah? I mean, be interested, yeah? We want to reinvestigate all these things, yeah? That we are so scared of, that we are afraid of, or that we don't like, yeah? The food that we don't like, huh? Well, what is it, you know? Food, you know, has seven tastes. It's a mixture of seven tastes, yeah? Why do I like this? Why do I don't like this, yeah? What's the difference? Huh? The taste, you know, it's a mixture of different tastes, yeah? Seven, yeah? Okay.